Our play this week is a fast-moving comedy romance, and our star is a motion picture actress who, young in years, has had a great deal of acting experience. She is Miss Peggy Newtson. In just a moment, we want you to meet her. First... And now we want you to meet the very attractive young lady who is our star. Here she is, Miss Peggy Newtson.
Well, it's wonderful to be here, Les. I like our show, and I hope the audience likes me as Susan.
Well, it's wonderful to have you with us, Peggy, and I'm certain the audience is going to enjoy it.
You know, Les, this really takes me back to the old days when we both were in radio in Chicago.
Yes, and since then, you've proved just as successful on the stage and screen as on the air.
And now the circle is complete. Here I am taking direction from an old Chicagoan again.
Well, perhaps after the show, you'll fill in the rest of the circle for us, Peggy.
I'd love to, Les.
Fine. Miss Peggy Newtson will return immediately after the play. And now, places everyone. Curtain going up. The curtain is up, and here is the play.
You know, the strangest things can happen in New York City. Things you'd hardly believe sometimes. Like, for instance, the very first day I arrived there, armed with my diploma from the Meriwether School of Business in Indianapolis, two suitcases, and a desire to be somebody's secretary. In fact, anybody's secretary. Well, I'd no sooner stepped off the train and bought a newspaper than I found just what I was looking for. The ad in the paper said, "Dependable secretary wanted for employment by writer. Apply, Hotel Astoria, Suite 901. So that same day, the very day I first saw New York, mind you, I pushed through the doors of the Astoria and went up to the desk.
May I help you, madam?
Yes, I'm looking for a...
Sorry, we don't have any.
But I just want to see...
Sorry, no vacancy.
You don't understand. I'm a secretary...
I don't care if you're the Duchess of Windsor. We have no room.
Now, see here. Right here in my pocketbook, I have an address...
Please, madam, don't try to bribe me. I'm in the upper income bracket already.
Now, you just keep still for a minute.
Well, really?
Look, I don't want a room. I'm not trying to bribe you, and I haven't the slightest interest in your income tax. I came here in answer to this ad for a secretary. Now, will you please announce me to Suite 901?
Well, why didn't you say so in the first place? The elevators are right over there. Oh, and madam.
Yes?
I hope you'll be very happy together.
Well, come in, come in.
Thank you.
Let me look at you. Eyes? Mm-hmm. Hair, About the right size, yes. Yes, I think you'll do very nicely.
Oh, are you Mr. Williams?
Yes, Miss...
Roberts. Susan Roberts.
Miss Roberts. I am Frank Williams, New York's gift to lovesick women.
What?
Via the printed page, of course.
Well, I may be misled, but I thought you wanted a secretary.
Oh, I do. I do. But she must be a very special kind of secretary, Miss Roberts. And I think you'll do very well.
But what was all that about my hair and my eyes?
We'll get to that in just a minute. First, I want to show you where everything is around here. Now, this is the room where we'll work.
Uh-huh.
And across the hall is your room, and...
I beg your pardon. Did you say my room?
Well, of course.
Mr. Williams!
Miss Roberts, put down that vase. Before you get violent, I want to explain something to you. Miss Roberts, I have absolutely no interest in you, except insofar as you are connected with my work. Our relationship will be purely that of employer and secretary.
Well, keep talking, Mr. Williams. What about that room across the hall?
Purely a matter of convenience, so that my secretary can be ready to take dictation whenever the moment of inspiration strikes me. Prepared to record the literary gems that tumble from my lips. Do I make myself clear?
Well, I guess so, but
Miss Roberts, I am a writer of those sickening love stories that thousands of women all over the country drool over every month. I bring a bit of romance into their sordid, tawdry lives, and they reciprocate by spending their egg money to read it. However, I am different from most other authors.
You mean they don't ban your books in Boston?
What I am trying to tell you is that when I am dictating, I derive a great deal of inspiration from my immediate surroundings. The heroine of my stories is always a duplicate of someone I've seen. Usually, that girl is my secretary.
Oh, that's why you were interested in my appearance just now.
Exactly. You see, I change secretaries with virtually every new story. And Miss Roberts, please believe me. I don't have the time nor the inclination to muddle up my own life with romance. I'm quite satisfied to write it down for others to dream over, but I will not stand for coquettishness on the part of my secretary. Now, Miss Robbins.
Yes, sir.
You will stay and be the inspiration for my next story, won't you? You're exactly the girl I had in mind.
Well, Mr. Williams, I don't know what the people in Indianapolis would say, but I... Well, I guess it's all right. I mean, being strictly business and all. And it does give me a place to stay.
Now, you're being very sensible. Oh, by the way, I almost forgot to ask. I mean, with the vase and all.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that, Mr. Williams. I'll set it down right away.
Now, I feel better. More at ease, you know. Oh, and in the general excitement, I almost forgot to ask. You can type and take dictation, can't you?
Oh, yes, I'm very experienced.
Yes, well, I'm sure you are. And now, we might as well get started. I have several ideas I want to get on paper before lunch.
So that's the way it all started. And after I'd been there a month, it seemed as if that was the only job I'd ever had. Come to think of it, it was. But Mr. Williams seemed to be satisfied with my work, and I got used to being called at 3 a.m. so he could dictate a love scene to me. He was sure true to his word, too. He never acted out any of those scenes. As far as he was concerned, I could have been Lassie. Of course, there were a few things that happened, like when...
Janet looked at Randy with mixed emotions. A lock of hair tumbled down over her forehead, setting off the twinkle of her eyes and the brightness of her white teeth. And he turned to her softly and murmured, "Let's have some coffee, Miss Roberts." Randy pressed her closely into his arms. Or make that strong, muscular arms. And looking tenderly into Janet's eyes, he softly whispered, "Miss Roberts, will you stop chewing that gum?" This was the moment Randy had been waiting for. His pulse beat rapidly as he turned to Gloria, with a light of ardent love in his eyes, and said, "Am I going too fast, Miss Roberts?"
And that's the way it went on for almost 3 months. But something happened to me along the way, and suddenly I started getting all mixed up inside. Oh, it wasn't anything you could put your finger on, but it seemed as if everything Mr. Williams dictated to me wound up in my dream. Every night, when I was asleep, his characters came to life. But they weren't just people in a story. They were us. I mean, I dreamed about the two of us together. And Mr. Williams would say...
"Susan, my darling, you are mine and mine alone. Let me clasp you into my arms. Make that strong, muscular arms."
"Frank, dearest, you know that I shall love no one but you. Ours is an eternal love that shall burn brightly throughout the ages. Kiss me, my fool."
"I love everything about you, Susan, my own. Your lock of hair that tumbles down over your forehead. The twinkle of your eyes. Susan, did I ever tell you how much I admire your dictation?"
"Oh, it was fate that brought us together, dear. It was preordained that I should be Mrs. Frank Williams. Oh, I love you, darling. I shall always love you. Kiss me, my fool."
"Susan, my love, you have brought a new richness into my life. I owe you everything. There is nothing I would not do for you. Nothing I would not buy for you. All that I have is yours. Have another stick of gum?"
"Thank you, my darling. Kiss me, my sweet. Of course it was silly, because never once did Mr. Williams change in his attitude toward me. Oh, he was always a perfect gentleman. Darn it, he didn't even seem to notice me. So all I could do was dream. That is, until I got my brainstorm, my big idea. Now, I figured that if Mr. Williams could do all those short stories right out of his head, I could do just as well. After all, I had a good imagination. I'd learned a lot about construction of material from working with him. And besides all that, I had my dream. So I began to work on it. Of course, I didn't tell Mr. Williams about it because I wanted to surprise him. And the story kept getting bigger and bigger. And by the time I'd written my happy ending, it was over 300 pages long. I intended to show it to Mr. Williams then, but he was in the middle of a new story, so I waited until what I thought would be a better time.
And as Roger clasped her hand, they stood there on the cliff, overlooking the sea, as the sun dipped into the far distant horizon.
Well, that does it, Miss Roberts.
Yes, sir. I'll finish transcribing these notes right away.
But I want that to go to the Doakes and Doakes Publishing Company in Chicago right away, Miss Roberts. See if you can get it in the afternoon mail.
Yes, sir.
Randall, take the rest of the day off, if you like. You've been looking a little tired lately.
Well, I have been working a little later than usual on something of my own. You see, there's something I wanted to show you.
No, you're much too pretty a girl to spoil the looks by overwork. We'll forget work over the weekend. Guess I'm sort of a tyrant to work for, Miss Roberts. Oh, that reminds me. I've decided to make you the star of the next story I do, too. So if you'll stay on, I'd like to keep you being my secretary.
Oh, I will, Mr. Williams. I was sorry to see this story end because it's been so much fun, Mr. Williams.
Oh, and another thing. We've worked together for nearly 4 months now. I think we're well enough acquainted to forget this formal stuff. Would it be all right if I call you Susan?
Why, certainly, Mr. Williams.
Frank.
All right, Frank.
That's better. Well, now off with you and have a good time. After that story's in the mail, we're all through until Monday.
Good morning, Frank.
Oh, Susan. Oh, you're looking radiant this morning. Looks as if the weekend vacation did you some good.
Oh, I had a wonderful time. Shopping, trying on clothes, going to the beauty shop. Do you like this outfit?
Very attractive. I didn't realize I'd never noticed what a really beautiful girl I have as a secretary.
Well, thank you, sir, she said.
And I was all prepared to ball you out like the browbeater I'm supposed to be. Now, I couldn't do it if I tried.
Why, did I do something wrong?
Oh, it isn't really important. I just happened to look in your room after you'd gone last week, and I found the script for that last story on the table. But it's all right. I mailed it right away.
Oh, but I was sure I mailed it before I left. I don't understand it.
But it isn't important.
But I distinctly remember laying it right beside the novel that I... Oh, no. Oh, no.
But Susan, look, there's no use in getting so upset about it. I took care of everything.
Oh, but you don't understand, Frank. Instead of mailing your story,
I
should...
Susan, I know it's the first time you've ever forgotten anything. But don't worry about it,
Oh, so. But Frank, I'm trying to tell you that
The only reason I was in such a hurry about it is that the magazine starts publication today.
You mean they're already publishing it?
That's right. I didn't think I was going to make it on time. Well, neither did the publisher, Julius Doakes. Well, I'll bet he's going to be surprised.
You know something, Frank?
What, Susan?
I'll bet Mr. Doakes isn't the only one who's going to be surprised.
Walked up the flagstone path that led to the little cottage they'd learned to love so much. Reggie and Kathy held hands tightly, as if their love could thus flow between them.
Oh, well, I'll get it, Frank. Mr. Williams' apartment.
Is Mr. Frank Williams there? Chicago is calling.
Chicago? Oh, no. Yes, just a minute, please. It's for you, Frank. Chicago.
Oh, that must be Doakes calling me about the story, Susan. Now, cross your fingers for me.
Don't worry. I've had them crossed for 3 days now.
Hello. Frank Williams speaking.
Here's your party. Go ahead, Chicago.
Hello? Hello, Frank? How are you?
You're not calling long distance to find out about my health, are you?
Oh, you're right. It's about your latest masterpiece, Frank. I had to tell you this right away. Why didn't you do something like this before? Why, it's terrific. It's the best thing you've ever done.
Well, I thought it was pretty much the same as the others.
Oh, now, don't be so modest. You know what we're going to do? First, we're running it as a serial in Flaming Love magazine. Then we're bringing it out in book form.
Serial? Book form? I don't...
This is going to be the biggest thing in years, Frank. You'll be the talk of the country when we get through. Why didn't you tell me you could write something besides those stupid short stories?
Stupid short stories? Look, Julius, what are you talking about?
don't you play catchy with me, chum. I knew you'd get around to writing your romantic memoirs one way or another.
I haven't the faintest idea.
And what a title. Last Affair. Yes, sir, Frank, we'll sell a 500,000 copies on the first edition. Oh, and say, if you think you can write it, you'd better get a sequel ready.
Yeah. What?
Oh, you're a smart one, all right, Frank, but it isn't everyone who can dream all day long and make $1,000,000 at the same time.
Yeah. Now, wait just a minute, Dokes. What do you mean?
So long, Frank, and get going on that sequel.
Yeah, Dokes. Dokes! Well, I'm a... What in the name of Samuel? I can't make head or tail of this.
I've been trying to tell you for 3 days, Frank,
that title, that Last Affair. I never wrote anything like that.
If you'd just listen to me,
and
Frank,
he's going to serialize it and put it in book form. Oh, it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense.
Frank, I wrote it.
500,000 copies, wasn't it? What was that you said, Susan?
I said I wrote it.
I thought you said... Wait a minute, you did say it. Susan, what are you talking about?
Oh, it's very simple. I wrote a novel. It was just something I dreamed. I mailed it by mistake last week in one of your envelopes. Oh, I'm so sorry, Frank, but I never thought that it would...
Let me get this straight. You mean you wrote a novel and sent it in my name to my publisher?
Oh, don't say it like that, Frank. It was all a mistake. It's just one of those things that can happen, and there's really...
Oh, fine. That's just fine. 10 years I worked to establish a reputation, and then a stupid secretary...
Frank, I said I was sorry.
Sorry? What good does that do? Well, the whole country will be talking about me, laughing at me. My memoirs, Last Affair. Why does this have to happen to me? Oh, you incompetent, stupid, idiotic.
Oh, Frank, how could you?
Susan, Susan, come back. I didn't mean it, Susan.
I tried to forget Frank after I ran out of the apartment. But I couldn't. Not even in the Meriwether School of Business in Indianapolis, where I got a job teaching.
But I don't see anything so terribly wrong with that letter, Miss Roberts.
Helen, you have 4 misspellings, 8 crossovers, and 3 erasures here. That's far from good stenography. How can you expect to get a good job if you don't do better work?
Oh, I'm going to work for a writer like that girl did in Frank Williams' book, Last Affair. I want a boyfriend more than a job.
And I couldn't forget by listening to the radio, either.
And from Boston comes word that Frank Williams' book, Last Affair, has won the Critics' Award in Massachusetts. Meanwhile, sales of Last Affair have gone over the million mark. The best book club has yielded to popular demand and is printing nothing but Last Affair for the next 2 months. The publishers have announced the sale of the book to a motion picture company at an all-time high figure of $375,000. And now stay tuned to this station for the Indianapolis Civic Symphony, which presents a new composition dedicated to Frank Williams' sensational new book, The Last Affair Concerto.
And every time I walked into a restaurant, it was the same thing. A cup of coffee, please.
Yes, ma'am. Like I was saying to Joe, that's the Barber Hope. He really topped them all. He said he was in the hotel Astoria, saw a whole line of women shoving in the bushing. And he asked them, was that the Nile on the line? And the guy said, no, these are the dames who want to be Frank Williams, the secretary. Here's your coffee, lady. Hey, Joe, where did this dame go?
Every place I went, it was the same thing. That's all anybody was talking about. Frank Williams and his last affair. I couldn't get away from it. And I couldn't stop thinking about Frank. And then one day, Mr. Merriweather called me into his office. You wanted to see me, Mr. Merriweather?
Oh, yes, Miss Roberts. Come in, please. Miss Roberts, I have a very particular favor to ask of you.
Well, I'll be glad to do anything I can, Mr. Merriweather.
I have a difficult problem. You see, we have an application here from a young man who wants to learn about stenography, but he seems to be a bashful sort. Doesn't care to attend group classes. He is evidently well-to-do, and I'm considering a private tutor for him.
I see, sir.
Of course, it would mean extra pay for the teacher, and I thought perhaps you might take the position.
Why, yes, sir, that would be quite all right with me. When does this student want to begin?
As a matter of fact, he's right in the next room and would like to start immediately. That is, if you don't mind.
Well, I have several classes.
Oh, I can arrange all that right through here, Miss Roberts. The young man is waiting for you.
All right, Mr. Merriweather, and thank you very much. You. How dare you?
Susan, darling, don't look at me like that. Do you hate me so much?
Oh, I loathe you. What right do you have to come back into my life? You don't need me anymore. Can't you leave me alone? Or do you want to write another book for you so you can start on your second million?
Please, darling, can't I make you see that it's only you I want? I need you, Susan.
Can't you find another stupid, idiotic secretary to mess up your work for you? I understand you're being mobbed by women begging for the job.
Susan, look at me.
Now you keep away from me. Frank, don't you touch me. Help! Help! Help!
Does that convince you? How will you believe that it's you I want, Susan? Oh, my darling.
Oh, Frank, I've waited so long for you to kiss me like that.
And tomorrow we'll announce that Last Affair was written by Mrs. Susan Williams.
Mrs. Susan Williams. Oh, it sounds wonderful. Oh, but Frank.
Yes, Susan.
I'm never going to write another book. And from now on, we'll do all your writing together.
That's right, dear.
And Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss me, my fool.
And now here's our director, Les Mitchell.
And here's our star, Miss Peggy Knudsen. Congratulations, Peggy, on a fine performance.
Well, thanks, Les. Coming from you, that's a bouquet indeed.
Oh, wait a minute now. Anyway, what do you say we start catching up on your past? After you left Chicago, you invaded Broadway, right?
Right. And while there, I entertained at the Stage Door Canteen, was spotted by Max Gordon and given the title role in My Sister Eileen.
Mm-hmm. And then came Hollywood and such pictures as Never Say Goodbye, Stallion Road, and The Unfaithful, as well as others. Now tell me, Peggy, now that stage, screen, and radio are all in your realm, what's your current ambition?
Personally or theatrically, Les?
Both.
Well, theatrically, I've always had a yen to do a musical comedy on the stage.
Well, after hearing your vocal and violin efforts, I'd say that that was not just an impossible dream.
And personally, I'd like to own, operate, and patronize regularly my own soda fountain, completely equipped and specializing in wonderful gooey banana splits.
Fine, I'll be your first customer. And thanks for being with us, Peggy, and do come back soon again.
Oh, I'd love to, Les. And before I go, I'd like to thank Frank Graham, who played opposite me, and the rest of the cast for their splendid performances. And now, goodbye, Les.
Goodbye, Miss Peggy Knudsen.
In the cast, you heard our star, Miss Peggy Knudsen as Susan, Frank Graham as Frank, Dawes Butler as Dokes, Barbara Fuller as the student, and Bob Bruce as Mr. Merriweather. Last Affair was written by Robert C. Vinson, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
It's been a real pleasure bringing you our play, Last Affair, and we hope you'll be with us again next week.
Musical score was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Be sure to listen each and every week and hear such stars as Elise Knox, co-starring with her husband Tom Harmon, Jackie Cooper, Roddy McDowell, and many other great actors and great stories selected especially for them. Peggy Knudsen can be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, Roses Are Red. Van Desitel speaking.